Well, kids, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think tonight for you guys is going to be the longest night of the year. I think, well, maybe for some adults too, but I remember when I was a kid, my brothers and I have three brothers, and we would sleep in the same room on Christmas Eve, and I tell you, that night was the longest night. Because you anticipated, you looked forward to what was coming the next morning, and the more you looked forward to that, the more you wanted to sleep so that you can get there quicker. But the more you wanted to sleep, the more you couldn't sleep, and so you stayed up, at least I did, most of the night waiting in excitement for the next morning. So kids, I feel like tonight is going to be a long night for some of you, and I don't want to ask you to raise your hands, but perhaps there's people who can't wait for the service to be done so that we can go home and get to bed for what's coming tomorrow morning. Waiting is hard, isn't it? Waiting for something exciting, something that we expect, is really hard to do. And it's one thing, kids, it's one thing to wait one night for Christmas. And I know some of us put decorations up in December and we wait a whole month for Christmas. And some people wait a whole year for Christmas, and that's one thing. But can you imagine waiting 700 years for Christmas? 700 years. That's longer than all of us have been alive. 700 years for the promise of Christmas to come. Now, God has made many promises in the Bible that Christmas is going to come, but I want to look at one of them tonight that happened 700 years before the very first Christmas. It's a promise that it's going to come. And we know it's a promise because if you listen carefully when I read it, you will hear two times in this one verse, God is saying through the prophet Isaiah, something will happen. Two times, God is promising Christmas. And what I want to show us in this one verse that we're going to read tonight is that God has, a long time, he has answered the promise in Christmas. Christmas is an answer to a long-awaited promise from God. But it's more than that. It's actually pointing to so much more. So Christmas on one hand is the answer to a long-awaited promise, but on the other hand, God points to more, better things that are yet to come. So let's read this verse together, or I'll read it to you. It comes from Isaiah chapter 11, and it's the first verse, and it says this. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. I'll read that again. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Now, I know what you're thinking. What does that have to do with Christmas? Where's the eggnog? Where's the Christmas trees? Where's the Home Alone? But believe me, it has everything to do with Christmas. Way before all those things were added to Christmas, this is a promise that the very first Christmas is going to come. And of course, I'm talking about the birth of Jesus, the birth of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who will rule supreme over all the world with love and mercy and justice. But we are getting ahead of ourselves, so let's rewind a little bit, 700 years, and look at this promise. And I want to show you three things from this one verse. The first thing I want to look at to show us that this verse is an answer to a long-awaited promise, but it's also a promise that more is to come, is that we see a stump, right? A shoot will come from the stump of Jesse. What does Isaiah mean by that? Well, Isaiah is painting a picture, and we're supposed to have a picture in our mind. So the first thing he paints is a stump. Now, we have a fake tree in our house. I have two young kids, and a real tree would just be probably utter chaos. So we have a fake tree in my house, but raise your hand if you are part of the tradition that goes down and cuts your tree from the forest. There's probably a couple people. Yeah, there's a bunch. So you go into the forest and you cut your tree. So when you go to the forest, maybe you go and you see some tracks in the snow. I'm going to just paint a situation for you. And you follow these tracks, and these tracks lead to a stump, and around this stump are wood chips. Well, what do you assume happened when you got there? Well, you assume that someone went before you and they found the perfect Christmas tree And they took their axe and they chopped it down, and it was obviously a wonderful tree because they dragged it home and put it in their living room and put ornaments on it. And you would automatically assume that because you know a stump means that something was there. Right? A tree was once there. Something wonderful and something glorious. Like I said, glorious enough that someone would want to take it home. And so Isaiah is telling us that there was something once glorious as that was here before the stump was. And the picture is there was once a glorious tree. And the book talked about how God had made the world. He made it perfect. And that as Adam and Eve sinned against God, they plunged the world into sin. And they brought a curse onto the world. We know it's called sin, and it's within us and it's without us, and we know the world is broken. And I don't know if you know your Old Testament well, but it's also a picture, because it's the stump of Jesse. It's a picture of the nation of Israel. Now, long ago, God had promised the nation of Israel that they would be his special people, and God would be their God, and he would love them and care for them, and he gave them good rules to follow so that they could live in harmony with God and each other. And there's a man named Jesse, and Jesse had a son named David, and you may have heard of King David, and David was king at one point over the nation of Israel. He was a great king. He was the best king Israel ever had. And under David's rule, things were pretty good. They had wealth, they had prosperity, they had relative safety from their enemies. It was a glorious kingdom. But because of the curse of sin, David himself, but also the kings after David, they sinned. And this once glorious kingdom were in the hands of evil kings who led the people away from worshiping God. He led them into evil practices. And he led them, yes, away from worshiping God. And as a result, God punished the nation of Israel. And he brought other nations to conquer them and to bring them into captivity. And so the picture of the stump of Jesse is this glorious kingdom that God had made. And then because of our sin and their sin, it was cut down. It's a picture of hope lost. It's a picture of something that was glorious. It's now just a dead stump. I want to take a second and I want to recognize that I know that Christmas time is not fun and joyous and sugar cookies and all that for many people here. And I believe there's many people sitting here tonight that for you, even at Christmas time, you feel like this is a time that's kind of just like a dried old stump. And maybe at one point it was fun, it was something to look forward to, but for many reasons, now it feels like it's tough. It's a dried out, dead stump. And because of the curse of sin in this world, our lives are like a dried up stump. And we have good days and bad days, but the reality is, our lives are like a stump. They're like it's dried. It's dead. We've ruined the good thing that God has given us. So the first thing we see is a stump, and it's a picture of hope lost. But I want to tell you that good news is coming, because God has a tendency to bring life from death. And so the second thing we see in this verse coming from this stump is a shoot. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Now you have this dried old dead stump, and nothing's going to come of this stump. Just like you chop a Christmas tree down, nothing is going to come from it again. But God promises that one day a shoot, a little shoot, it's not a full tree, it's just a shoot, a little twig, a little branch is going to come from that stump, like we saw in the story. It's a glimmer of hope. It's a glimmer of hope that God is going to start making things right, that God is going to start bringing life from death. And this little shoot is Christmas time. This is the promise of Christmas realized after 700 years. The people of God and the world was waiting for God to start doing something to make things right. And at Christmas time, the little shoot arrives. And he arrives as a little baby. Right? Jesus doesn't arrive being, you know, revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his mighty angels. He arrives as a little baby. He arrives from, and you know the story, he arrives from a nobody family. They're poor. They don't have much. You know, a young woman named Mary is engaged to a young man named Joseph, and they're pledged to be married, but before they can get married and come together, she's found to be pregnant, And of course, the baby inside of her is from God. And of course, because of the census that Caesar has declared that he wanted to count all of the people in his kingdom, he declared that everyone has to travel to their hometown. And so Mary and Joseph, they saddle up their donkey and they make the trek to Bethlehem, a nowhere town in the middle of nowhere. Not a lot of people in that town. And of course, you know, they couldn't find room in the inn. They couldn't find room in anyone's house. And so the only option they have is to sleep in a stable with lay baby Jesus in a manger after he's born. And of course, there's nobody shepherds living in the field. They're not really that important. They're shepherds, and angels would appear to them and give them the good news first that the Savior has been born, and they tell the shepherds where to find the baby. And in these humble circumstances, in a nowhere town with from nobody people, finally arrives the little shoot, the little glimmer of hope that God is going to start to make things right. But of course, a shoot is just a shoot. It's just the glimmer of hope. And when the shoot arrives at Christmas, it's the answer to a long-awaited promise for sure, but because it's still just a shoot, it's pointing that more is to come. God is going to do something amazing from this little shoot. And the world wouldn't have to wait 700 years to figure out what God was going to do next. The world really only had to wait another 30 years for the shoot to become a glorious tree. Because the next part of the verse, the next thing we see, is that this shoot is going to produce some fruit. Now, if you're following along with this painted picture, you know that a little shoot doesn't produce any fruit. It needs to be mature. It needs to grow. It needs to become a tree before it can produce some fruit. And the world would wait just, again, 30 years for this shoot to grow into a tree to produce fruit. Now, as often happens, God exceeds our expectations. So 30 years later, the baby would grow up into a man, and if he would die on the cross. And if you're following in your mind, you know that that's not how a Savior usually acts. A Savior usually saves. A Savior doesn't usually die. But as I said, God always exceeds our expectations. See, what the nation of Israel and the world was waiting for is they were looking for someone to save Israel. They were looking for just someone to restore the nation of Israel. But God says, no, that's too small a thing for me. You expect that, but I'm going to do so much more. I'm going to give you a Savior of the world. And of course, they think a human Savior is going to come, some mighty warrior who will use his strength to save Israel. But God says, no, that's too little to do in my mind. I'm going to give you a Savior who is both fully and truly human and fully and truly God. Who could have thought up such a glorious plan? And of course, humanity thought that Jesus would come to save us from our hardships in this world. Maybe save the Israelites and the Jewish nation from Rome, or save us from our hardships in the lives that we live now. But God says, no, that's too little of a thing for me again. What I'm going to do is reverse the curse that happened with Adam and Eve, and I'm going to give you not just life on this planet, but I'm going to give you eternal life, eternal joy, and eternal satisfaction in my Son. I don't know if you've ever woken up on Christmas morning and expected to receive one thing. Maybe you expected to receive a tie or something like that. And then you look out in the driveway and there's a brand new car. It's never happened to me. Probably never will. But what would that do? I mean, you're expecting a tie, and I like ties, so that's fine, but you're expecting a tie, but whoever surprised you is giving you something way beyond your expectation. God does that for us. In one sense, Christmas time is the end of that promise, right? And in a couple of weeks, let's face it, the tree will be put back in its box, and we'll put all our decorations away. And Christmas time comes at the end of the year, and we think, well, that's kind of the end of the promise. But God, who wants to exceed our expectations, says, no, in many ways, that's just the beginning. Christmas is the beginning of more that I have for all of you who trust in my Son. And so God offers you tonight, if you've never thought of Christmas this way, if you've never thought of Christmas as the beginning of something, I pray that God would exceed your expectations tonight. I pray that if you were thinking this Christmas would just be another Christmas and you'll spend time with families and open up some presents and have some eggnog, and that's all great. But if that's your expectation, my prayer is that God would exceed that and he would show you that there's more. He would show you that there is eternal joy and satisfaction in Jesus Christ. If you feel tonight like many of us, many of you would, that your life is like a dried up stump, that Christmas was once great, but now it's kind of a dried up hope, I want to offer you hope that God brings life from a dead stump. Not only does he bring life, but in his son, he brings life everlasting. And if Home Alone is what you look forward to at Christmas time, I got more than that for you. Again, God has for you eternal life and satisfaction in his son. So I pray this Christmas may be different for you if you've never thought of Christmas like this. I pray that you'd come to realize that all of us have fallen under the curse of sin, that all of us have rebelled against God, and that means God is going to punish us. But in Christmas, God brings hope. In Christmas, he brings his son into the world who will grow up to be a man, who I've already said, and he would die on the cross to take your place and my place that we deserve to be there because of our sin. But Jesus' singular and epic and ultimate purpose of being born at Christmas time is that he would make his way to the cross to die for our sins, conquering sin and taking the punishment that you and I deserve upon himself. And more than that, because God exceeds your expectations, the world wouldn't have to wait 30 years to even see what God was going to do next. They only had to wait 3 days, because 3 days later, Christ was raised from the dead, conquering death, our greatest enemy. And now he sits at the right hand of God, reigning supreme over all, and one day he's going to return. And I pray that if you've never put your trust in Jesus, this Christmas, do it. Receive the best Christmas gift you will ever receive, salvation in Jesus Christ. Trust in him for the forgiveness of your sins and the hope of life everlasting. And if you are a Christian here today, I would just pray that you would have the strength to keep watching, because what our job is now is we continue to watch, we continue to wait, because the best is yet to come. One day Christ will return. One day Christ will return, not as a baby, but he will be revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his mighty angels, and he will bring all of his people to him in the new heavens and new earth, where all sin and sorrow and pain and loneliness will be gone forevermore, and we will be with Christ, our eternal joy and reward forever and ever. Amen. Christmas is glorious. In one sense, it's the answer to a long-awaited promise, but in another sense, we wait because the best is definitely yet to come. I pray that you put your faith in Jesus and wait for his second coming this Christmas. So have a very good night and a Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, give us hearts that long for you to come again. Hearts that have put our faith in you and our trust in you for the forgiveness of our sins, the reversal of that curse, and the hope that we will be with you forever and ever in glory, that we will see you face to face. Help us to watch eagerly and to wait and to expect your coming. And I pray that every heart in this room would be turned to Christ, that we would be counted his, and that we would be counted among his church and among his people when he comes again. Thank you for the glory of Christmas, where you far exceeded our wildest expectations, and you revealed your plan to save humanity from the curse of sin. Thank you for our time tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.